This is Susan V. Brock-Telluride, Inside and Out, speaking with professional photographer Barry Brechhuysen. Barry is coming to town, actually he's returning to town, to teach for the second year in a row a course through the AHA School for the Arts called Blues and Brews in the Pit, a photography workshop. Participants actually get to be in the pit and shoot with Barry, and they also learn in the classroom. So, Barry, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So when and how did you get into photography?
Well, I always joke about it came out of the womb doodling. I was always going to do something in the arts. What it was, I wasn't really sure. I mean, I drew and did little drawings all the time as a kid, and it wasn't until I went to college. And shortly before I went to college, my grandmother helped me buy my first SLR camera, Canon camera, and it pretty much took off from that. I mean, she even... I remember her making a statement, maybe this will be a start of a career. And it did. And partially why I always enjoyed photography, even though I still do mixed media art on metal and wood and embed images. Partially what intrigued me about photography was that I could make one image. I could make one image that I love, and then I could make a million of them. And I loved that idea because all those photos become your little babies, and it's hard to get rid of them. And
yep.
Now I still always have the original. So that's kind of how it came about. And then, you know, you see how the world plays out with you. You know, I mean, like, as a kid, I bought Rolling Stone magazines and loved them. And during college, I used to sneak my camera in here and there. But I'll tell you right now, I never thought my dream job would be shooting for Rolling Stone or being a rock and roll photographer, because it never seemed conceivable or realistic. I mean, I've had people all the time like, oh, I want to be a rock and roll photographer. It's like, really? Never even crossed my mind. I never even thought that was an option. And it, you know, it's just, things just kind of happen. I mean, I was out of college running photo labs, which don't really exist anymore. I just figured I would be, you know, a mix. My dream world was that I would have my art pieces and stuff in galleries, and I would die in the gutter. I mean, that just seemed to be a more realistic world than suddenly I'd be shooting the Stones and Bowie. I mean, you know, it's been an unbelievable ride, and you just ride that wave, but that was never in my plan.
And you gave me a nice segue. My next question was about Rolling Stone. Getting a gig at Rolling Stone is clearly a piece of cake, is clearly no piece of cake. So what do you think they saw in your work that helped you break through the crowds at the door, or did you come through a door another way?
You know, it's interesting because when I showed my portfolio, how I even got into the doors of RollingStone.com is bizarre. I mean, I have no short stories, but as you can tell, I'm trying to talk clear. A buddy of mine wanted me to direct a music video. I went to school at Columbia College in Chicago for photo and film. And so, I mean, I really kind of had an aspiration of secretly being a director. I mean, I thought the name Brechhuysen, my last name is perfect as a director at Brechhuysen Production. Still like it. Still might go back to it. It's a great name. You know, it's Hitchcock, Spielberg,
yes.
Right? It's a good name. Anyway, so I was asked to direct this music video, and I was in the process of doing it. And it was back and forth in L.A., and I wasn't going to get it paid. It was just going to be for my reel. And so I realized really quick on we weren't communicating. So I decided I was going to film storyboards and sync it to the sound of the song and then put that together as kind of a treatment of how I perceived to do and the concept of the video. Hadn't drawn in years. So you could say a friend, my girlfriend's ex-boyfriend helped me out, and he was at the time working in the art department at RollingStone.com, and on the way out, he was very helpful helping me do the storyboards, and he was a great help, and on the way out, I just said, hey, you know, if you ever need a photographer, ha-ha, let me know. It's really how I got in. So I went in, but I didn't have a portfolio of music. I had a couple that, you know, like I said earlier, I'd stuck my camera in. I had an okay shot of Peter Gabriel's So Tour, and I had a good shot of John Taylor from Duran Duran, but I mean, they were all snuck. I mean, so they were where they were. My rest of my portfolio did not represent it, but they gave me a shot and I was hungry. I mean, I can tell you how you get in. You're hungry and you do whatever you have to do to shoot. And it's the catch 22. How do I get a portfolio when I don't have access? You know, I mean,
right.
And that's how it is. So the internet world has been great for things like that. And if you take advantage of it, right, you can do it. So there was a photographer that had tenure over me, but I never said no to a show, and if anything, I berated and annoyed the crap out of them of like, how about this show? How about that show? How about this show? I mean, it's free content for them because I was freelancing for free. However, they still have to make the phone call, and it's still their time. And so that was the thing. So within a year, you know, I'd been shooting nonstop, and it was killing me. I'm running these photo labs. I'm not getting any sleep. I'm slowly getting old. I was 29, and I was becoming 30. And so I went up to my editor, and I said, you know, how do we parlay this into a full-time job? And he just, I don't know how serious when he originally said it, but he just kind of went, well, I don't know, I could make you the photo editor. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And it became a real thing. And so I was the first photo editor at RollingStone.com, and didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I, you know, I learned quickly, and I stumbled a lot. And then from through the course of that, you know, I went into the back door that way with being with the magazine. So yeah, and honestly, you know, in some ways it was I got the baton passed to me. I became friends with other photographers that were shooting for Rolling Stone, and this one photographer, James Crump, who eventually came board as a co. Actually, he kind of took over as photo editor for RollingStone.com at one point. I got an ultimatum at one point, and it was, do you want to be a photographer or do you want to be the photo editor? And I said, I'd like to be both, but if I have to make a decision, I'm a photographer. And so they brought James in, and we had the greatest photo department at that time. Was James came in. He had been shooting for Rolling Stone and the Chicago Tribune, and he eventually, and him and I are still best friends. He was, you know, part of my wedding, and I see him every year. Anyway, he moved to New Orleans. And so when he moved to New Orleans, he kind of, they called him up and said, no, I don't live in Chicago anymore, but Barry Breckheisen does. And that's kind of how it was. And that's how it was passed to me. So that's how I got in.
Okay, thank you. Which of the many talented performers have you enjoyed shooting the most, and why?
You know, it's those performers that bring it from the beginning, you know, and there's, and some of them are ones that I'm fans of music, of their music already, and then some it's just them. Some of them just get me excited. I'll tell you, I just shot the Uproar Festival Thursday, and Uproar, the headliners was Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction. And I have a history with Jane's Addiction, and I was the touring photographer of the last touring Lollapalooza in 2003, and that was Jane's Addiction, and Audioslave and Queens of the Stone Age, and traveled from the East Coast to the West Coast. But what was amazing every night was getting to shoot some of these bands that I really enjoyed and became even bigger fans. And Jane's Addiction is definitely one of them. Perry Farrell, the lead singer, was on fire on Thursday, moving around. He's on his knees dancing around. I mean, every once in a while you get that chill, and it's just so exciting. And it's almost like a gift to be able to capture that energy. And Perry Farrell is a good example. Over the summer, you know, Rolling Stones have been touring again. They did a three shows in Chicago, and I got lucky to be able to shoot all three of those. And Mick Jagger, I mean, that man is just still a machine after all these years. I mean, I wish I had that much energy now. So it's bands like that. It's bands that just are really bringing it to their fans. And I mean, you know, and then if you like their music, it's just a bonus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all those, you know, or the Who, you know, I mean, Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey, this play, I mean, it's just, it gives you chills. It really does. People like that, you know, I mean, some of the newer bands, I don't always get as excited about, you know, I mean, I shot Lollapalooza, earlier this month, and, Nine Inch Nails, but I mean, he's just hard to shoot. I don't know if I enjoy it, but when you nail a shot, it's exciting. It's exciting right. For me, for him.
So do you think great shooters are born, or can they be made?
I think they can be. I think you either have an eye or you don't. And I think there's a delusional ideology these days that anybody can be a photographer. I mean, and it's constantly happening in the digital world, and I've seen the whole back and forth and all that, where it's like suddenly it's like, oh, we don't need you. I have an iPhone, or we don't need to hire a photographer. I have an iPad, and you know, and whatever. And then the smoke clears, and they go, crap, I can't take a photo to save my life, or I can't I know what I want, but I can't physically do it. I can point my finger and say, this photo's great and this photo's great, but they can't shoot it. And so some of it comes down, obviously, to economics, but the rest, the bottom line is if a PR company or whatever, it, you know, they're gonna pay you, or they're gonna get a real photographer to do it, because in my world, whether it's you know, in concert shooting somebody or if it's an event, you have one moment. You there's no redos most of the time on this stuff. You got to get it right, especially dealing with celebrities. Maybe that's a better way of phrasing it. You don't have really redos on it. You either nail it now this first time or you lost it. And so you got to have a real photographer doing it, a real eye. And I think some of it you can help form what's already there. I mean, there's probably plenty of talented people that just don't know how to do it. I mean, I went to school for photography. Did I need to go? I don't know. Maybe not. I think it definitely helped me. Good teachers will help show you that little thing that's, you know, on the tip of your tongue or right there that you're reaching out for, but you just can't figure out what it is. And then you become a better photographer, artist, writer, whoever it is. And I think that's what teachers can. I think it already exists, and other people can bring it out. But there's definitely people that don't have it.
Okay. So what sorts of tricks of the trade? You gave me another great segue. What sorts of tricks of the trade can students taking the AHA course expect to learn from you?
Well, you know, when I put the course together last year, so I got asked to do it. And I went, sure, that sounds intriguing, fun. I've never done it. And then the reality was, you know, oh, my God, now I really have to come up with this class. And when the bumps that I realized early on was, it's not a photo 101 class. So people are coming in with all walks of life, with all talent, skills. Hopefully they know how to use their camera. So I had to deal with all that. And then the next step was, in my course, I do a real basics of photography and all that. And then from there, I really do break it down. How to photograph a guitarist, how to photograph a singer, how to photograph a drummer, how to do two shots or three shots, which is, you know, doing a shot with the singer and the guitarist, and what works, what doesn't, why you need to separate the singer from the mic. Don't have the mic stand. I mean, some stuff's obvious and some isn't. I mean, it's amazing what sometimes is obvious to me and isn't to others, or what's acceptable to some people, including publications, and would not be for me. You know, doing a horizontal or anything where part of the motion is the hands, and they cut the hands off and they're just close, getting a close up of the person's face, or a guitarist where you're cutting off their hands. I don't understand those things at all. And to me, those are faux pas that don't work for me, and that those are the things I try to teach you. Or the drummer, why, you know, like, if you don't see the sticks with a drummer, it's just a floating head behind something that you don't really get it. You need to understand what the energy and the motion is of that performer in order to be able to help get it, to help show it.
Okay. Terrific. Well, thank you. This has been Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking to Barry Breckeisen. Barry is once again coming to town to coincide with Telluride Blues and Brews, and is teaching a course for the AHA School for the Arts, Blues and Brews in the Pit, a photo workshop. Barry, thanks for taking time out of your day to join me.
Thanks so much. I can't wait. I'm excited.
You're welcome.